Another edition of the Unfiltered Podcast, part of the Santa Mirta Podcast Network. I'm Ben, and I'll be your host here. I also write an online column about Santa Cruz, California called The Weekly Dump that I publish every Thursday over on www.santamirta.com. If you're unfamiliar with it, go have a look. It's the weekly talk of the town. So it's finally starting to feel like summer here in Santa Cruz. Yesterday we had one of those days where the offshore winds blow in hot air from the east, and we lose our natural air conditioning, otherwise known as the fog. And of course, soaring inland temperatures bring everyone from over the hill and beyond to Santa Cruz to cool off, enjoy the beach, and create nightmare gridlock on our local roads. There are days on summer weekends I just refuse to drive my car. But the masses of driving tourists don't stop me from enjoying the beach on the weekend when the weather's beautiful, like it has been this weekend. I just go early before everyone gets here. Then I'm back home by the time the masses arrive. I know over the course of this month, kids will be getting out of school, and that's when the crowds really start to show up. I think UCSC has their graduation next weekend, so it's kind of a trade-off in the summer. We lose lots of students, we gain lots of tourists. So this Tuesday, the Santa Cruz Board of Supervisors will be discussing their biennial report on their needle distribution services. The county has been known to be less than transparent about this stuff. Okay, they actually lie about this stuff. They provide exact needle counts for return needles, which we know they don't actually count. They weigh them in bulk. They've admitted this more than once publicly. So how do you get a truly accurate count by weighing in bulk? You don't. And as to the lack of transparency, they only discuss this report once every 2 years, and only because they have to. The County Health Services Agency has to comply with the Health and Safety Code, which requires them to make the report available for review and comment prior to the meeting. They just released the report recently, and I know people are planning on speaking to the report at Tuesday's Board of Supervisors meeting. This is a rare opportunity for the public to voice their opinions and concerns about the county's syringe services program. And I'm pretty sure the kooks behind the harm reduction shit show mobile needle distribution will be out looking for support after having to withdraw their application to the state, mainly due to numerous errors on their application, and community outrage and criticism from groups like the Salvation Army. So the county is proposing to expand syringe distribution in our community in a couple of ways, according to the report. They want to expand the hours at the Emmeline campus and Watsonville Health Center up to 20 hours per week as staffing resources become available from collaborating programs such as medically assisted treatment, homeless persons health project, and integrated behavioral health. They also want to incorporate the syringe services program into the homeless persons health project clinical field services. The report lacks a number of obvious ideas that would improve the public safety aspect of the current program. There's no discussion of retractable needles or color-coding needles from the county to actually get an actual count on how many the county is putting out there. And it doesn't explicitly discuss eliminating secondary needle exchanges. And maybe most importantly, it doesn't discuss reforming the current program to an actual one-for-one exchange. And until that actually happens, we're just pissing in the wind here. So there's plenty of fail and plenty of willful ignorance as usual from the county as far as I'm concerned. If you're interested in speaking or attending, the meeting will be this Tuesday in room 525 of the county building at 701 Ocean Street. And I believe the item will be discussed around 1:30 p.m. So head on down there. Put in your 2 cents. Give them a piece of your peace of mind. So I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I'll talk recall and another great letter from Stephen Kessler. Stick around. Back in a moment.
Solace in the shadow. touch that dial. You're listening to Unfiltered with Bend Over on the Santa Mira Podcast Network.
Okay, I'm back. Last week, I had a chance to chat with someone who knows what's going on with the Santa Cruz United group. They're one of the groups that has been quietly going about the necessary paperwork to file an official recall effort against Chris Crone and Drew Glover, city council members in Santa Cruz. I'm not going to mention any names, mostly to protect and respect their privacy, but also because I know how much local kooks love to latch onto a name for shame. But let me just say, there are a lot of people behind this. People with respect, smart people, people willing to put their money where their mouth is. And one of the more interesting things I'm learning, and this gives me increased optimism, is the United part of their name is pretty apt. This isn't just one group or one person with an axe to grind against Crone or Glover. These are multiple groups from all over the city, groups that might normally not get along real well or see eye to eye on things. And we really should not be surprised by the widespread support for this. Let's remember, they each got less than 15% of the vote, which translates to 85% of voters did not vote for either one of them. So it really shouldn't surprise anybody by the wide range of support for the recall idea in general and for the support it has received so far. And how have Crone and Glover officially responded to the notice of intention they each received as part of the recall initiation? I haven't seen their official response yet. I know Crone called it undemocratic and the senile. Nothing could be more democratic, dumbass. Democracy doesn't only apply to fit your narrative. As for their friends and critics of the recall, we know, of course, how they respond. By attacking people. By stalking and harassing people. By invoking Hitler and throwing up Nazi salutes at city council meetings. And speaking of our local Nazi-loving local activists, there was another terrific letter in the Senile this week from Stephen Kessler, who is fast becoming one of my favorite regular op-ed writers in the Senile. His op-ed letter this week, titled, quote, City Council as Theater of Cruelty, unquote, discusses the obvious dysfunction anyone who has watched a city council meeting sees on a regular basis. Basically, he calls out the kooks, some of them by name even. It's kind of a long letter, so I'm just going to read a few of my favorite excerpts for you here today. You can find the whole letter online and probably in the print version as well. So here are a few choice cuts. He begins by talking about meetings in general. And I quote, "Every so often I attend a Santa Cruz City Council meeting, either because something that interests me, like the garage library mixed-use thing that wouldn't die, is on the agenda, or I just want to witness the live theater and revealing psychodynamics of democracy and bureaucracy in action. The part of democracy is played by the attending public and bureaucracy by city staff. The council has the more complex role of representing both these dramatis personae and somehow blending them into public policy. That's a tough enough job in the best of times, but when you have a $4 million budget deficit, a polarized community, and a deeply divided council, well, I feel their pain and admire their stamina," unquote. So then he talks about the last meeting, and I quote, "The recent meeting I attended was a vivid illustration of the messiness of the democratic process. Beginning with oral communications, the 30 minutes the public is given at 1 to 3 minutes per speaker, depending on the number of speakers and the mayor's discretion, to address the council about anything that's not on the agenda. For agenda items coming up later, people have another shot at the microphone. At the May 28th meeting, many of the oral communications were tirades aimed at Mayor Martine Watkins for her decision to limit time for speech at the previous meeting and for clearing the chambers when some members of the public refused to settle down. A couple of those, outside the chamber, stood at the windows giving the Nazi salute, as if to accuse the mayor of running a dictatorship. If this were true, the protesters would be forcibly removed for extrajudicial punishment and never heard from again. But the mayor, whatever her political imperfections, is not a Nazi, a fascist, or even much of an authoritarian. If anything, she seems to be remarkably tolerant of obnoxious, belligerent, hostile, aggressive, and insulting behavior. There are time limits on free speech for good reasons, and asking for cooperation and observing them shows a commitment to allotting adequate time for doing the city's business. As with the finite word count of this column, public speakers need to distill their arguments to fit within existing constraints. This is apparently too much to ask of the, quote, activists, whose main activity is making themselves the center of attention to no more political purpose than displaying their own self-righteous indignation and annoying their elected representatives. All recall efforts aside, the fact that some of them were holding up signs declaring, quote, "We support Drew Glover," unquote, does nothing to inspire confidence in Councilman Glover. With these kinds of friends, he needs no enemies. My own space limits prevent me from sharing with you details of the agitated complaints flung at the council, the mayor especially, like rotten tomatoes from the audience. But characters like perennial protesters Robert Norse, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, or HUF, an apt acronym for such a blowhard, Keith McHenry, Food Not Bombs, Elise Casby of the Heil Hitler salute, and Curtis Relford, who claims he's doing God's work by driving his music-blasting peace truck around town, disturbing the peace, are embarrassments to the democratic process with their incoherent rants and unachievable demands. If they're so impatient with the council's failure to serve their agendas, they should run for office themselves. Unquote. And there's a lot more. Another great op-ed from Stephen Kessler. Thank you, sir. It's time for another quick break. When I come back, I'll talk a little dump. Be right back.
I'm overage. Keep your minimum wage. Now you've opened up the door and now we're overplayed. What'd you do that for? Fuel a terror war. Migration, inflation is rattled up on every door. Been friendly with the wrong man. My taxes in the wrong way. What in the world will make you understand?
Okay, I'm back again. So coming up in the next weekly dump, last night around 10 o'clock, multiple callers reported a brawl in the middle of the street near the 1300 block of East Cliff Drive, near the museum and the entrance to Seabright Beach. Sounded like it might have been gang-related. Maybe people were hanging out by the fire pits on the beach and something was said or went south and they took it into the parking lot and into the street. Details are very few and sketchy. SCPD sent multiple units to the scene, but it didn't sound like anyone was arrested. I later talked to a friend who lives down there, and she thought it was just some punk yelling gang slogans and stuff, but she didn't think it was a brawl. So, I don't know. We haven't heard anything from PD or the news about it, so. But something happened, and police responded in force. And speaking of SCPD, they gave us a snapshot of their Friday night graveyard shift. So I'm going to share some of that with you. All this happened on Friday night over the graveyard shift, meaning overnight shift. SCPD responded to the 500 block of Cedar Street for a report of a suspicious person trying to get into a building. Officers located a suspect at the scene, who they recognized as a suspect from an earlier residential burglary report. Say that 10 times fast. If at first you don't succeed, try again, with a little help from our courts and DA. He was arrested again for burglary. Later, they responded to the Surf City Inn for a report of a suspicious person on the property, who they found and arrested for public intoxication and possession of a controlled substance. They also arrested another guy at Cayuga and Wyndham for public intoxication. They also responded to the 200 block of Van Ness for a report of an occupied residential burglary, where they found a man inside the residence and arrested him for burglary. And they also responded to Argus Motors at 905 Water Street for a report of a subject inside one of the for-sale vehicles. He was arrested for trespassing and vehicle tampering. All in a night's work. Good job, SCPD. And this week, the Boardwalk starts their free Friday night summer concert series. Two free shows every Friday night through the summer at 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. This Friday kicks things off with the English Beat. Maybe they can sing Tears of a Clown for Glover and Crone. I was a little bummed to not see Los Lobos on the schedule this year, but we've been spoiled, and there's still some fun bands coming to the Boardwalk this summer. I do appreciate the Boardwalk for doing these. It's one of the best free things to do in Santa Cruz in the summer. The people watching alone is worth the price of admission. So that's going to do it for me this week. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Be sure to check out the weekly dump over on santamirada.com. And you can listen to all the previous unfiltered podcasts on SoundCloud, Apple Music, Spotify, and Google Play. And I also set up a new podcast page over on the Santa Mirada website with all of the archived podcasts on it. So I'll be back next week with more unfiltered news and views from Santa Cruz. Don't forget, we get what we're willing to tolerate. Adios.